This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, given the fact that you do spend so much of the year behind a desk,
yes,
is it really freeing for you to be as sexy and as funny and as outrageous as you can be in a piece like this?
I would say that it was both terrifying and liberating at the same time. It was, you know, the sort of cool thing about playing Pam is that I can have a lot of artistic integrity that is actually just laziness. So, like, I can say things like, oh, I don't watch what I eat because Pam wouldn't watch what she eats. And I don't exercise too much because it's not what Pam would do. And I don't get a spray tan or worry too much about my looks because, you know, I just want to always be authentic for Pam. But really, that's just about me being, like, really, really lazy. So I don't have those excuses when I play a character like Darlene. I had to work out 5 days a week, and I had to worry about, like, manicures and pedicures and hair and makeup and all that. And so, that part was, like, terrifying because it's just not a thing that I spend a lot of time worrying about normally. But this is a woman who does. And so I had to get into that. And then I would say, like, it got kind of fun. Like, it got kind of cool to just flaunt it and not care and be in the spotlight and it was definitely liberating. I mean, by the end of the movie, those guys, like, couldn't stop me. Like, I was on a roll. I was like, push the boobs up higher. I can't see them enough, you guys.
Does being outrageous come naturally to you, or is it very intimidating for you to, particularly some of those things you do when you're, you know, all that stuff with him when you're walking, doing things with ice creams and pops and
well, I think I can tend to have a pretty raunchy sense of humor or a pretty dark sense of humor, but I'm not a very outrageous person. Like, I kind of needed the character in order to express that side of me. So I'm probably a lot more shy in real life, a little bit more reserved, and not necessarily, like, wanting to be the center of attention all the time. So that's what was fun, was that I think that just comes from, like, some sort of, like, you know, don't stand out Missouri upbringing or something, you know, just like that kind of, you know, modesty instilled in me from a young age or something. But it was fun to, I needed the character in order to give myself permission. But once I gave myself permission, it was like,
you went for it.
I went for it and I, like, embraced it. Right. And I was like, I had a good time. It was fun.
How weird is it to be in December and not be going to the office then?
It's really weird and it's sad. And we would always get together as a group and watch, like, the Christmas episode every year and have a little Christmas party. And we don't have a Christmas episode this year. So I've been wondering if we're still going to have our Christmas party. I hope we still do, but it's weird.
What are you doing in your downtime? I mean, in this period that you...
I'm, like, doing stuff that I can't do normally because I'm working, like, I made a dentist appointment.
Oh, that's exciting. What day is that on?
isn't it tough, though, because the strike could end and you could go back to work immediately, so you really can't sign on to...
That's right. I'm...
Hello?
They want to
maybe make up the room.
I'm in a holding pattern. I can't take other jobs because I'm under contract with the show until April, whether we're making it or not. And you know, if the strike ends, I think they still need a little catch-up time to get back in production and, you know, get our trailers back and try to get our crew back, as much of them as we can. And you know, we only have one shootable script right now. It's the script that we were shooting when we were shut down, and that required a lot of location work. So, you know, there's, like, practical things. If the strike ends Monday, it's not like we can go back to work on Tuesday. I think they might need, like, a little bit of time to get us back up and running.
That would be very frustrating, though, for you. How do you deal with that lack of conclusiveness in your life?
I'm kind of used to it. I mean, like, an actor's life, it's funny. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that like seem like pampering, but they're really just ways to control you. Like they'll say, like, you know, we would love to send a car to pick you up. And what that means is we're not going to leave it up to you to get here on time. And like, can we bring you a water means don't leave. We want to know where you are at all times. So it's like there's a lot of stuff about being an actor where you have to just sort of submit and just sort of give up a lot of control. And so it doesn't really feel all that weird to be just kind of waiting. A lot of what you do as an actor is wait anyway.
Do you have any plans to direct again after Lolly Love?
No.
No.
No. No. No, I'll never write or direct anything again.
Why?
I promise.
Why?
Because I hated it. It was awful.
I've never heard anyone admit that before.
Maybe other people like it. I didn't like it. I thought it was awful. I loved editing. I liked, as a director, sitting in the editing room. I liked that very much.
What did you hate about it the most?
I think, like, it is not a talent of mine to create something from nothing, like to have a blank page and have to just imagine it all yourself. It's just, I'm not wired that way. And then also, I don't see things visually the way a director does. It was very frustrating for me to try to, like, I really come at things from a kind of emotional level, and as an actor, that really works. And for me, it's like an inside out, and I think as a director, you have to be able to, like, have a vision. You have to be able to see, like, where bodies go on camera. Like, I can't do it. I found it very frustrating, difficult.
So
I didn't like it.
If they asked you to direct an episode of The Office, you would...
I would say no. Quickly.
Wow.
I won't ever direct an episode of The Office. I won't ever write an episode of The Office.
Before the strike...
I can't stress enough how I will never write a script again.
So, when is the next directing?
Before the strike happened, had you guys already mapped out where the season was going to go? Like, did you have an idea of, you know, for the finale this year, where you were trying to take the show?
Not that I know of. The episode that we were going to shoot... was one of the funniest episodes I've ever read. It's an idea that the writers had been pitching for about 2 years, which is that Michael Scott has a dinner party and everything that happens. And it's brilliant. And it was like 2 years in the making. And it planted a lot of seeds for the rest of the season in terms of story arc. And so hopefully, like... we'll get back at it, and all those things will pay off, and we'll
people
get to shoot that episode.
Dinner party?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I probably shouldn't have even said dinner party. They're probably gonna be mad at me for even revealing that. But it's so good. I mean, it was so good.
Entertainment Weekly said that you have one of the best, like, you're of, you know, actors and directors who keep a blog. You're one of the best. But and I know that you tend to keep it while you're on The Office because all those years work. Now that the show is on hold, are you not going to be blogging as much anymore? Or?
Well, I'm going to try to blog. I like to do, like, my version of Oprah's favorite things every Christmas, like gift ideas. I love doing that, and I'm going to try to do one of those, and I'll probably blog about Walk Hard a little bit. But it is harder. It's like... it's sort of like, it's that thing where it's like when you spend all day at work at your computer, you don't want to go home and be on your computer. And so even though I'm not going to work all day and being on my computer, there's still like me at my home computer. It doesn't happen that much. I mean, I write emails on my BlackBerry throughout the day. And then when I get home, I just like watch television. I don't spend a lot of computer time. So but I don't know, then maybe I'll get really bored. Blog.
What are your holiday plans?
You know? I'm going to go home and see my family over Christmas.
I'm taking your fill. I mean, you know, it's funny, you know, after your, not funny, but after you had your accident, every time we interviewed Steve Carell, it was like various stuff. And how's Jenna doing?
I'm sure he.
It was always at the junket. It was always the one of the
poor questions. Steve. He never even mentioned that to me. He probably had that question so many times. What a trooper.
I know, it's really quiet. Really, very, very funny. I tell you, obviously, you're fine. But.
I'm fine. I just saw my doctor a few weeks ago, and I had an x-ray, and all my fractures are completely healed, and I have been able to start physical therapy to deal with just some of the muscle and tissue damage. But I will have a full recovery, hopefully.
And getting back to Walk Hard for a second, what was the most challenging part for you about making this film?
I think the most challenging part was the... like the physical endurance and athleticism that I had to endure while also being funny. Like, I had no idea, like, this is a woman and the situations are very high energy, which is different than playing Pam. And also, very practically, this is, my character is a woman who, like, doesn't have a hair out of place, and her makeup is always perfect, and she's got lashes, and she's got nails, and to stay looking pristine for, like, 14 hours a day was actually difficult for me, because I'm, like, a lounge around in my sweatpants kind of girl, and they were always, like, running up, like, don't sit there! You know, like, no. So I was always wrinkling myself or, like, smudging something because, you know, if my eye itches, I'm like, eye itches, and just rub the hell out of it. And then there's, like, raccoon eye going on. So it's just, like, I had to learn how to not, like, touch myself. I had to learn how to be, like, a very, like, pristine girl.
Have you seen the film yet?
Oh, yeah.
So when you looked at yourself aged at 70-odd years old, did you think to yourself, Christ, I hope I either look like that or not.
Oh my God, I hope I look like that. They made me look so good, I thought. But you know, the pieces that I wore were actually Kate Beckinsale's pieces from a movie that she did where she had to age. So I'm sure that's why. I mean, I don't think I'm going to age like Kate Beckinsale. So thank God I used Kate Beckinsale's face. So grateful.
It's interesting you're talking about the laziness of Pam, but at the same time, the show is shot, and certainly your character, it's almost like a silent movie at times where so much of the communication has to be done with your face because you don't have that much dialogue, but they constantly show you communicating your distress or your feelings towards the other characters. That must be, in a lot of ways, that must be quite difficult because it is so much almost like miming in a way.
Well, I think so much of the show is about what we say when we're not speaking, but also, like, it's a subtext show, you know, and it's one of the challenges to, like, you know, have a conversation with the character of Jim that's very, you know, acceptable and appropriate while all the while communicating to the audience, this is a person I have a huge crush on. So it's that a lot of what we do on the show is, like, one of the things I think we comment on is the way that people try not to share what they're really thinking or feeling,
right,
and how really transparent we all are anyway. And so that was sort of, I don't know if that really, I spoke to what you're saying.
That's also work, though. We're talking about
it, is.
Of that. But at the same time, that communication for an actor would be more difficult than just reading dialogue from a page.
No, and I think that, acting-wise, there's certainly nothing lazy about, like, working on The Office. I think I just meant more like, you know, when I'm sitting behind reception, they let me wear sweatpants and Ugg boots on the bottom half of my body.
No, I understand.
You know, Darlene doesn't get to do that. But yeah, I mean, there's a type of endurance on The Office that's necessary because you are on camera or you have the potential to be on camera all day long.
Right.
And you have to be acting all the time, even in the background and especially in reaction to things because it's a show about reactions, for sure.
Do you see an end date at all for the show? Is there a point where you think that Steve will... I mean, I can't imagine Steve will want to do this for much more than another couple of years, although he denies that. But.
Well, I mean, he has his contract, and, you know, of course my biggest fear is, you know, that Steve's contract will be up, and then, like, all the rest of us will do one more year. Like, it'll be, like, that lame year that Steve's not on the show, or we get a new boss or something. where we're all, like, trying to hang on desperately to the show. And But I don't know. I mean, like, it's really true that Steve loves doing the show, and he's a producer on the show, and he writes on the show. So there's a thing that the show gives his life, a creative thing, where he has a lot of creative input, and he, you know, as an actor, he's getting more out of the show than just performing. And so I think it gives him something that maybe movies don't. So it's important to him. I think he'll be around for a while. I mean, I know he'll be around for a while, but I don't know how long the show will be on. I think we, you know, hopefully just as long as we can continue to do it with integrity, where we're not, like, forcing something or where we're not repeating ourselves.
What about plans for your next so-called hiatus, which I guess is...
Well, it's, you know, the strike has, you know, put that into a lot of, you know, it's really up in the air because of the strike. The, you know, the studios aren't greenlighting films, you know, like they might normally be, and I'm under contract till April, so I can't really, you know, I can't really make any decisions anytime, you know, too soon. But I'm actually developing a project with a writer, an indie comedy for myself.
And are you going to write and direct any episodes?
I'm not going to write or direct it. I like developing it. I like talking about the story. But besides that.
Are you pitching it to a commercial network or to a...
It would be a film.
Oh, sorry.
A film. Yeah.
An indie film.
An indie film, which I hope John C. Reilly will star in with me because I only ever want to work with that man for the rest of my career, if possible.
In Quebec, right?
Worked with him on Quebec and then worked with him on this movie and would love to work with him on my next movie. We could be like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. We'll just make a bunch of films together.
Could you actually talk a little bit about Quebec and your part in it and what it was like?
Yeah, Quebec is written and directed by Steve Conrad. He wrote The Weatherman and Pursuit of Happiness, and this is his directing debut. It was shot in Chicago, and it's about two assistant managers at a grocery store who are vying for the same job as manager. And just they're sort of like very like petty yet understated competition to get the job. And I play Sean William Scott's wife, and unfortunately he has lied to me and told me that he already got the job. And so we are like, I'm moving forward in our life, like we're going to have all this income. So he has this real like incentive to win the job, which he thought he was going to get until this guy from Quebec moved to Chicago and is now his competition. And so it's a very funny but very like quirky indie comedy.
So there's no studios.
It's the Weinsteins who made it.
And John C. Reilly plays the French Canadian.
John C. Reilly plays the Canadian, yeah, and he's married to Lily Taylor, who's Scottish. Is that enough countries? that movie was a lot of fun. It was. That was really cool. And Fred Armisen is also in it. And it was a cool group of people to hang out with.
You filmed that last summer?
I filmed that 2 summers ago. And then we did some reshoots on it. We actually did reshoots on it on the weekends between Walk Hard. So I worked on Walk Hard, and I was John C. Reilly's woman. And then I went and worked on Quebec on the weekends, and I was Sean William Scott's woman. But John C. Reilly was there, because he was also in the movie. And I remember showing up on set and being like, I don't know which man I belong to. It was very uncomfortable because I had just spent 5 days flirting with John C. Reilly and breathing on one another and throwing things at one another. And then all of a sudden I had to be somebody else's wife. And it was confusing.
It's a hard life you have, obviously, choosing between these two men.
Well, I know. I was a pretty lucky lady. That was kind of a fun time, you know. Got to be like the fake wife of these two awesome dudes.
Is this the most, you know, creative you are in your life at the moment? Is this the best time in your...
I would say yes, I would. I think I went through a period of time when I wasn't working as an actor when I was forced to, like, self-generate creativity. And I started cartooning and that was a really creative time in my life, and journaling, and that's when I made my movie Lolly Love. And there's something really exciting about having to be a self-starter and create work for yourself and also see it through. It's very different from being like hired to do a project. That time in my life was really important because I think it made it possible for me to do what I'm doing now. But right now I'm like working more than ever and getting to work on projects that I like and haven't had a bad experience yet, knock on wood. And I would say, yeah, I mean, this is definitely like the most fertile creative time for me. Yeah, certainly.
What attracted you to Walk Hard? Was it because the role of Darlene is so different from Pam?
I think it was the sense of humor of the movie. I love satire comedy. The movie reminded me of Airplane, and I love that movie, and I feel like we haven't seen that in a long time. And I love movies that are like that. Like, I love Christine Taylor. I think she's so good at satire comedy. And so I wanted to do a satire. And then also I liked it because it was a rated R comedy, and it was raunchy, and it was over the top. And in that way, like, that's my sense of humor. And when we're on The Office, we have to hold back a little bit, you know, because it's television and there's censors. And with this movie, I knew there was, you know, no censorship as seen with the orgy scene.
Will Pam and Jim make it through the rest of the show? To the rest of the show, or do you think there'll be bumpy bumps on the way?
I really don't know. I've sort of told the producers all along that I am not attached to Jim and Pam being the love of one another's lives forever. I think there's also something very sweet in, and I think we should only keep them together for as long as it seems real and seems like honest. And that there could also be something very beautiful about the two of them preparing one another to find the love of their lives. I mean, sometimes some of the relationships we go through are more about growing as a person and learning who we are and sort of then letting go and letting that person, you know, go on to find the love of their life. And so I'm okay with that being the Jim Pam story too, and it could be sort of interesting and something we haven't done before. Every time I pitch that idea, they tell me that I'm crazy and nobody wants to see that. So I have a feeling Jim and Pam are going to make it in the end.
Because people are romantic at heart.
Exactly.
So there's no hope for Pam and Toby?
Oh, gosh. I wish, because my favorite scenes to shoot are Pam-Toby scenes. Nobody makes me laugh like Paul Eberstein. Nobody. It's actually every season there's a new person that I can't stand to do a scene with because I can't get through it. And season two, it was Rain. I could not do a scene with Dwight. He breathes when he comes up to you. He's like, he like wheezes on you, and he has this coffee breath, which I think is intentional to be off-putting as his character. I'm not sure. And so, like, I just, any time he even just walked up to me before he said anything, like, I would start laughing. So I couldn't get through a scene with Rain. And then season three, I could not get through a Pam-Toby scene. Just that sort of, like, the fact that she's so unaware of his affection for her and just having to ignore it every time and look in his, like, sad puppy eyes, those were my favorite. And so, like, so far this season, I don't know. I haven't had a person that I just Ed Helms. Can't do Ed Helms this year. Like, that guy just makes me laugh every time. When he came up to my desk and was, like, asking me how to get on Angela, I just, like, could not get through that scene. Could not get through it. So he's making me laugh this year. Changes.